said that dreams come true. Never live down here with me and you. All the lies that we believe, all the dreams that we could see, forgotten long ago.
How is everybody doing? Welcome to the Introvert Musician Podcast. I am Nikki P. So, today I want to talk about the actual kind of self-esteem side of things, or more importantly, getting over the introspection that causes you to have issues performing. So, I was listening to Landon Porter and Nathan Frazier the other day on the Sales Gorilla podcast because I got interested in sales at some point in my life. They seemed like those people had it all together, at least enough to do what they needed to do. And anyways, got into it, and there was something that they said that I've been sitting on for a couple weeks for time reasons. I just haven't been able to get to the microphone. But it's something that I've thought about a lot, and I've never been able to articulate the way that I feel it needs to be articulated. And what it is, it's an equalizer. It's something that once I heard it, I couldn't unhear it. I couldn't unthink it. And it's kind of the basis for sales for a lot of people. And that's why I think it's interesting that it has the crossover that it has for me here. But the idea is that you should be so busy trying to deliver value to people that you don't have time to be self-conscious. When you're sitting there and you're thinking about things in your head that aren't the crowd, you're failing at your number one job, which is there to entertain them and give them what they want. So I want you to say it with me. It's not about me. You can have all the reasons in the world you think it might be about you. It's money. Why are you there if you're not? It's not about you. But the fact of the matter is, when you're on stage, literally everything you're doing has to be about the people in the crowd. So, here's a question. When you're on stage, what are the things you're thinking about? What are you worried about? You know, you're playing a bad note. A bunch of strangers won't like you. You won't get another gig after this one. How fat you look on stage. I don't know. Whatever your deal is. So, I've got some quick answers. I can do this right now. I don't even have to know you. But I can guarantee you that this is the case. Playing a bad note. Very few people in that crowd can play. You've convinced somebody to pay you. So you're already way ahead of the mark. Anything you do that isn't a complete train wreck is going to exceed the expectations of the people in that audience. So good on you, man. You've already started out. You're ahead of the curve. You worried that a bunch of strangers won't like you? You know how you fix that? Make it about them. Everybody likes being paid attention to. Everyone likes to be the center of attention. When you shift the focus off of yourself and onto what you're doing for them, i.e. playing songs for them, people tend to like the person that's doing things for them. So maybe it's you won't get another gig. Well, I can tell you right now, the quickest way to make sure you don't get another gig is to not entertain the audience, not keep them engaged, and not keep them there drinking booze. If they like you and they like what you're doing and they feel the show's about them and the atmosphere is good for them, they're going to do that and they're going to keep you in the good graces of the people. So, is it how fat you look on stage? Is that something that's going to bug you? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a big boy. And maybe it limits my groupie action, but it hasn't affected my bottom line. I can tell you that much. So, I'm bringing this up because the name of the podcast suggests that I'm an introspective guy and I've wasted a lot of time on stage worried about things that don't matter. I've definitely done that. Definitely wasted a lot of time on things that don't matter. And what's funny is that once I learn these things, it's these guys that get into sales and stuff, I wish somebody had kind of given me this Rosetta Stone back in high school because I've always been this guy. I've always been very shy, I think I've masked it in very different ways over the years. But the fact of the matter is I've always second-guessed myself because I've always spent so much time being concerned about me. You hear the stories time and time again about the guys that, you know, date the pretty girls. I was never the guy that dated the pretty girls. The fact of the matter is that at least in the time, they give the impression that they're worried and concerned about the people they're trying to impress. If you go out there and you only talk to the pretty girls, that's ugly. I digress. I don't need to sit here and build the credentials for how unpopular a guy I was when I was a teenager. What does this mean for you? Requests. That's what it means. You can go out there and you'll have your set list. Always be prepared to play whatever it is you need to play. There's always going to be a starting point that you need to have. There's always going to be dips in the crowd. I had a big dip after about an hour and a half the other night, last night when I was playing, that it was a little touch and go for me there. I just, you know, kept playing stuff that was interesting me and, you know, trying to draw the people that were filing back in slowly back into what I'm doing. But the fact of the matter is, requests are the holy grail, the mother lode of keeping people engaged and putting money in your pocket. I made over an extra $100 on top of what my fee was last night just off of playing songs specifically for people. And some, it doesn't even have to be always the specific thing they ask for. Sometimes it's just as simple as, oh, you like that artist? I don't know that. How about this? I've done a number of years doing this, so I'm maybe a little further along than a lot of us, and I have a very, very large catalog just to start with. But anyone can learn to do this, and I guarantee you will make more money if you do it. So on top of the financial side of it, I literally had the first hour and a half of that very full room, an uproarious cheer, people telling me how great I was, how happy they were that they got to hear a song that they wanted to hear. What's funny is that I went onto that stage expecting, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. That table right dead center, I could have kicked their drinks over if I wanted to from the stage. Was sitting there obsessed with a hockey game. Dude screaming and yelling at them. Like, barely acknowledged me when I tried to say hi to him to get past them onto the stage. I thought for sure this was going to be an absolute defeat. I'm talking to the manager like, in case we have to do something about this table going into it just because they look like they're going to be a problem. I think I made $40 off that table that night. That hockey game that they were watching and screaming and yelling over, I got much bigger applause in that room than that hockey game got. I take that as a personal point of pride because I've lost gigs for sporting events. You have those playoff seasons, they do it to you. Anyways, the fact of the matter is it's really, really hard to be introspective when you've got people telling you how great you are. Some nights it's harder than others. I'm not going to say it's like this and goes perfectly every night. And you'll have dips in the night where sometimes the crowd's not there, you know, or you're in the middle of a dip when people are coming out of the bar, people are going, you know, coming and going. So you might have some spots where there's just nobody there to grab onto. But it's an important thing to do. Because that engagement, the performance is a very personal thing to those people. And if you're the only person on stage, it's got to be personal to you. You're trying to start a conversation with all of these people via the music. Calling people out of the crowd, I can tell you right now, was definitely not something that I was comfortable with when I first started doing it. However, as I did it more and more, it became second nature. And the fact of the matter is that it's a great way to feel that connection to the people out there. And I said, my wife will vouch. I'm not even like an overly like happy guy. I have a very level, almost, I don't know, sarcastic demeanor. That is my stage persona. And I sometimes I'll get almost antagonistic with people. Like if I don't like a song, I'll pick on them about being normies or, you know, hey, do you need some pumpkin spice latte? Obviously not trying to be a dick, but to endear myself and make that connection and say, well, you know what? Not my thing, but hey, you guys are in charge. Let me do that for you. It helps build up that credibility and say, hey, we're doing something for you. I'm not just up here to collect a check and get the hell out of here. Even though I'm kind of there just to collect the check and go home. So, tool-wise, the thing you're going to need to have is you're going to need to have a tablet. I keep a tablet on stage with me. It's my lifeblood. I have a backup tablet if anything happens to it because I need one. I keep my pages, which I've got over 1,000 of that I've worked on meticulously over the years, that give me all my cues and parts and lyrics for every song. And then right next to that is the icon for Ultimate Guitar. So a lot of times I'll learn how to play a song on stage. The fact of the matter is you're playing music for drunk people, and drunk people tend to not care how great it is. They couldn't have done it at all. You play something that you don't know how to play, even remotely close to what it sounds like, you get out a verse and a chorus, don't even have to play the whole song. I'm sure, since we play pop music, most of what you're playing is stuff they barely know anyways. They just, they've got the melody, it's something, oh, I can remember the hook, and you run with it. I'm gonna be honest, I've played stuff that was way, way off the mark, and just faked my way through it, people still left happy. If you got the chords close enough, they're pretty good to go. So I'm going to reiterate, it's not about you. The whole thing is about giving the crowd what they want. If you give the crowd what they want, you can go home confident that you're going to get called back. I never not gotten a check. I've always been paid out. I have an entire calendar booked up to the end of the year. I should probably start booking for next year here pretty soon to get everything locked in. Because I keep the people in the audience happy. And people in the audience happy means people staying. People staying means more drinks sold. More drinks sold means bars like you. So, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but the gig really is a sales gig. You have a particular set of skills that make you useful in this particular way, but you're there to sling drinks. So, anyways, we're going to call it there. I think I've rambled on enough about what I rambled on about. If you want to learn more, you want to get some coaching or sign up for my 6-week boot camp I'm looking to run, teaching you how to go from literally you can play guitar and sing to having gigs on the calendar, sign up at theintrovertmusician.com. I have some articles I'm working on writing right now. I have the a set list design article up there that'll walk you through how to get a set list together if you've never done it before. So go out and find yourself peace, gigs, and prosperity. Take it easy.